And again, thank you so much for that song, Irma, Unfailing Love. I tell you, I love how the Lord brings a service together. That is such a fitting song for today, Unfailing Love. And I'll tell you a little bit later on about what went on in our prayer in the back before we came out here today. We are continuing our series today, Lost and Found. Lost and Found. And there's a toss-up really between the subtitle. The one I prefer is The Unfinished Symphony. And you'll see in just a moment. The other title, The Other Lost Son. And though these are passages that we've gone through before, I pray that God will give you a fresh experience, a new glimpse of what really is in these passages here for us. You know, Luke chapter 15, we have those parables of the things that were lost. There was one thing that didn't know it was lost, but it needed to be found, right? There was another thing that knew it was lost, but didn't know how to find the way home. And one entity in the story knew that it was lost, remembered the love of the Father, and that love pulled him back home. Now, in that parable of what we call the lost son, there are actually two lost sons. But the parable really is not even so much about the first or the second, but really about the Father. So even as we get into our subject for today, and we'll have a little review of last week, bow your heads with me one more time as we pray. Loving Father, Lord, in this moment, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me every day, every week, that this is a privilege. Father, I thank you for taking these words of preparation. And as you've done in the past, Father, use them. Speak through me. Thank you for touching my heart. Thank you, Lord, for the music today. I pray, Lord, that you will tune everything together to bless the hearts of those here today. Lord, as we're challenged, may we also be encouraged. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Please look. Maybe I should have said, please look and listen. But our sound isn't cooperating today. But as you look, you have a little picture of the welcome home experience of the Father. Here, Jesus is being depicted, talking with his disciples, and sharing with them that parable. You notice in this story how the young man was far away, very ragged, very torn, very tattered. The father was looking over the brow of that hill. If you get sound, that's fine. Just play it on and I'll quit.
And shoes.
There we go.
On his feet.
Sorry.
And bring hither. Came unto his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.
And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he, answering his father, said, lo, these many years do I serve thee,
neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends.
But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots,
thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive and was lost and is found.
Let me just thank Alan for having the true heart of a leader. When things go wrong, leaders don't quit. Amen? And they make sure to get it right. Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much. That's what deserves a clap today. So here we find ourselves after the prodigal has come home. We find ourselves at the time now when the other son comes on the scene. But let's take a quick look and reviewing that first son. We went over this last week. Before he left home, he was weary of restraint. He thought that the father's laws were unnecessary. Have mercy. He felt his liberty, so-called, being restricted. He misunderstood the father's law, which was based on what, everyone? On love. And as a result of all of those three, he was determined to follow his own will. Sounds familiar? But after losing everything, he longed for the security of home. He was now willing to be a mere servant. Remember, he had prepared that speech saying, oh, I'm going to go home now and I'm going to say, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And I'm willing to be a servant. Well, first of all, I want to remind us about something. Sonship is merely because of who gave you birth. Who brought you into this world? God brought us here, and there is nothing that we can do to change that. He is our Father, and He always loves us. But the sooner we recognize that we are children of the Father, the better off we'll be. Point number three, he realized the selfless love of his Father. He knew that all of the Father's servants, they had food enough to spare, and here I am eating with pigs. Point number four, he was willing now to confess his guilt. Willing to acknowledge that the Father was always right. Now, I said at the very beginning of the message last week, I said, sadly, from many homes and from many pulpits, the Father has been misrepresented. He has been sadly misrepresented by those whose primary duty it is to represent Him in love. Many times, it's just harshness that's coming from the home, from many Christian homes. And this is not the only reason. There are others. But we wonder sometimes why our young people leave the church. It's because there's a sad misrepresentation of God in the home. And I know this may not be the PC message, but the conference didn't hire a PC preacher. Amen. So, I want to remind you about the Father. Number one, the Father has a heart of what? Generosity. Remember when Philip said to Jesus, Lord, why don't you show us the Father and it'll be sufficient for us? Jesus said, have I been so long with you, Philip, that you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen who? The Father. And so if you will, my dear friend, my dear brother, my dear sister, sitting right now, maybe with a little pain, a little sting in your heart about your own memories, please, focus on the Father above. He has a heart of what? Generosity. The Father does not force His will on us. Now listen, there are consequences in life. But the consequences are not an end in and of themselves. We serve a God that is a God of redemption. Amen? And just like we found out there in the Garden of Eden, even before sin came in, God had a plan to redeem His own. And you know what He said? You know what God said? Even if they break it, I'm going to go down there, I'm going to keep it for them, and then die for them and offer my life to them. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father was kind to all in His house. That's how the boy knew he could come home and offer his resume to be a servant. The Father lovingly waited for His son to return. The Father had compassion. The Father didn't play favorites. And point number seven, the Father practiced what, everyone? True forgiveness. He reinstated him. When that son came home, he put a robe of righteousness, somebody remember the message, on him. That's what it symbolized. It was his own robe. He was smelly, stink, dirty, you name it. But that pure robe of righteousness was put on him. And remember, the ring was not about bling. The ring in that culture, that was the signet ring, the seal ring of the family. And now, after he had repented, after he had come back home, the Father seals that decision, gives him that ring of authority. Today, all we do is put our signature to a piece of paper, and it's done. But that's what it meant back then. So go down with me to where Tim read for us, Luke chapter 15. We're going to begin at verse 25. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Oh, have mercy, friends. Stop right here. Just in case you missed it, this is where our sermon title came from. The Unfinished Symphony. You say, I don't see that anywhere here. You see, the word for music in the Greek is the word symphonia. And the word actually means unison in sound. Symphonia. He heard this symphony coming out. He heard this beautiful music. I'll tell you one thing, it wasn't some rack attack thing going on inside of that house. It was beautiful music. But then I also want to point out that this was actually home. This is a house. So they were having a catawampus celebration. Can I say that? They were happy. And so there was joy and there was festivities. And this was a celebration that went on at home. Amen? As a matter of fact, we have an example of that in Scripture. If you turn to Zephaniah 3:17 or you just want to write it down, the Bible says that the Lord rejoices over you with singing. You know, the sad thing is we can't hear it right now because there is a great gulf between us and the Father at this point. But one day that gulf is going to be removed. And when we go marching in and we go singing, we're going to hear another voice. Oh, we're going to hear that divine paternal voice singing from the throne, and we're going to be hushed, and we're going to hear God sing. My children are coming home. It's going to be an amazing thing. Don't miss it. And just in case your father couldn't sing, don't think that that's what it sounds like. Amen. It's going to be awesome music. Don't miss it. So go with me to your study notes. There are many who profess to be faithful children of God. But whose, what everyone? I can't hear you. But whose experiences lack the deep, loving, what's that word? Connection that should bind a parent and a child. And we're not asking here whose fault that is. That's not the point right now. The point is that loving connection, for whatever it is lacking. Many fulfill their what? Their duties for God, but have no relationship with Him. Now it's going to get a little dicey. Please pray for the preacher. Many times this lack of relationship manifests itself in how they treat their fellow brothers and sisters, especially those who have erred along the Christian journey. For an example of this, let's re-examine the reaction of the prodigal's older brother, i.e., that is, the what? The Pharisaical son. We're going to examine his reaction to his younger brother's return home and ask God's Spirit to help us, what is that word? Not exhibit the self-righteous spirit, but the spirit of Christ. And so now we go to verse 26. And so he, the older brother, called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, verse 27, your brother, notice now, this is very important, your brother has come home. And because he has received him, the father that is, has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. The calf of the anticipation. It was fatted because there was an expectancy of one day the son coming back home. This calf was prepared. I mean, can you imagine being the fatted calf? Say, I wonder why I'm getting so much food and all of my others not getting so much food. Because one day you're going to be prepared for a banquet table. Have mercy. Now, we're not going to get into a vegetarian talk right now, okay? Yeah, I know what you were thinking. But let's keep on going here. But he was angry, verse 28, and he would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Oh, friends, please don't miss this. Notice that the son, the older son, he didn't go into the presence of the father. Please don't miss it. He stayed out in the dark place, no light, no sound, no music. The father left his abode and came out to get him. He didn't want to go in because he was angry. But the father comes out of his most holy place. He comes out to get his wounded son. Well, there are a few things that we need to recognize about this son. Notice the statement right here. Christ Object Lessons, page 207. Thus far in the Savior's parable, there is no, what is that? Discordant note to jar the harmony of the scene of joy. But now Christ introduces another element. You know, I'm just so amazed when I read a commentary in Christ Object Lessons with scripture and then look at the original language and I see the beautiful unity that's there. You notice the word music means what? What is it? It means symphony. It's symphonia, right? Unison of sound. And here it is. This woman with a third grade education says there has been no discordant note to jar the harmony of the scene of joy. You see that? It's amazing. And interestingly, Elder Joel, he didn't know what the sermon was going to be about. He didn't know the title of the message. And when we're praying in the back, he said, Lord, may there be a beautiful chord to touch our hearts. Oh, you could just imagine how excited I was. When the prodigal came home, the elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Don't miss that important point. He was where? He was in the field. He didn't see the bruised and battered and rickety condition that his younger brother was in. All he can remember is when the younger brother left with loads of money. Say, oh, you're coming back to get more. Have mercy. Look at this. The older brother's true experience revealed by what? Revealed by what? Oh, don't miss it. Revealed by what? His actions. Point number one. What do we find? He didn't understand his younger brother's what? Sad experience. That whole time, however long it was, the one who stayed active in church thought, oh, my younger brother's out there living it up, and here I am in church. But he didn't see the pigsty. He didn't see when all of his friends left him. He didn't see the night when his brother was leaning over that toilet, vomiting his insides out because he had drunken too much. He didn't see the death threats. He didn't understand his younger brother's sad experience. Point number two, he was what? He was jealous of his brother's false freedom. Recognize this, my friends. The younger brother went out to live a life without law. A life without law is a life of lawlessness. And you know where lawless people end up? They lose their freedom. It's false freedom while you have it. A life without law is not freedom. The reason you are free to drive around in Beaver Creek and Dayton and Centerville and you name it is because you are a law-abiding citizen. Oh, have mercy. Notice this now. Point number three. He didn't what? Witness, A, the scene of his brother's return, B, the condition his brother was in, and as a partial result, could not appreciate the brother's what? Heartfelt confession. Oh, have mercy. So go back now to verse 29. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends." Point number four. He stayed with his father for what he could get, not for the love of his father. His relationship was about give me, not about get to know me. Question to us. Are you living the Christian lifestyle simply because it's better not to do drugs? Are you living the Christian lifestyle merely because, you know, it's better to live a life that, you know, tries to follow the rules of the church? If that's the only reason, my friends, then you're living a miserable life. We've got to get to know the God of the house. While the younger son was lost in the world, the older brother was lost in the house. He was lost because he didn't know the Father. He professed to serve the Father, but he didn't love the Father. And I want to remind you of something Jesus said in John 14, it's 15. He said, if you what? Love me. In other words, if you don't love me, don't worry about keeping the commandments. They're not for you. The commandments are for those who what? Who love me. Who are willing to grow in a relationship with me. Because there's something beautiful about that relationship. Something that to where it takes you. You know that passage in Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23? Some of the most, I believe it's the saddest words in all scripture. And one shall say to him in that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not in your name? Did we not in your name? Did we not in your name?" And then he shall say, "Depart from me, I what? I never knew you. You who work iniquity." One version says, "You who practice lawlessness." So he stayed with his father for what he could get, not for the love of his father. What else? "But as soon as this son of yours..." Now, remember how the servant spoke with the older brother? He said, "Hey, your brother has come home." And now, when the older brother is talking to the father, he doesn't say, "my brother," he said, "this son of yours." Even without hearing how he said it, just reading it, you can tell that he's saying it with disdain, "this son of yours." And by not calling him his brother, he is actually almost saying that, "I'm not your son." He says, "this son of yours." That's the language you'd expect to hear from a servant, because a servant is not a son. But a son will call his brother and his sister. He said, "You're my brother." We're so thankful for our father. We have the same daddy. Friends, you and I, we're brothers and sisters. Those next to you, you're brothers and sisters. And the question is, How are we, what type of attitude do we have when a younger brother falls? Do we say, serve him right? Do we say, yeah, you should have known better? Yeah, well, when they come back to church, are we saying, or are we joyful and thankful? Oh, no. We don't want him back here. You know how much problem he caused in this church? Excuse me? Whose church is this? This is the Father's house. Now, if someone is unrepentant, that's a different story. But here, the younger brother came back, and he was sorry. His heart was pained. And he wanted now to live the lifestyle he should have lived. Point number five. Though he lived in the house of the Father, he never really knew the father of the house. Though he lived in the house of the Father, he never really knew the father of the house. Now, let's go to verse 31, 32. The Father says, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was what? Was dead. What does that mean? Friends, separated from the Father, literally speaking, we're as good as dead. It's more than just merely being lost. You see, the Father is our source of life. If you separate ourselves, if that cord is cut, we're as good as dead. But guess what? Even when you die, it's not a problem for the Father. He has the power of life and can bring about what? Resurrection. That power he extends by his love. And that younger brother, he knew and recognized at that point in his lowest, at his lowest time, he recognized the love of the Father. And that love rekindled life in him, and he resurrected and he came home. Said, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is what? Alive again. He was lost. And he is found. Point number six, though the Father saw him as a son, he saw the Father as a master. The Father addressed him and said, My son. Friends, are we going to make that decision to know the father of this house? I want to share with you this statement. Can I get the next slide? From Review and Herald, October 16, 1894. Look at this. How many manifest the spirit of the elder brother who looked with coldness on the return of the prodigal, and instead of giving him a welcome, reproached those who rejoiced over his return as one who was undeserving and who had caused much trouble. Look at the two figures in the parable and see whether you are manifesting a spirit similar to that of the self-righteous elder brother, who was full of envy, jealousy, evil surmising, and hatred toward the one whom the Father received so graciously. In which class would the Lord Jesus reckon you? Were you on the ground where such a scene was enacted? These parables have a practical meaning that many do not discern. It's almost as if the parable ends on a cliffhanger. But we don't know if the older brother finally acquiesced to the father's entreaty. We don't know if he went inside and joined the celebration. We don't know if he repented right there of his self-righteous nature. That's why the sermon is entitled The Unfinished Symphony. You will compose the rest. How will you finish this symphony? Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit, the one who brings accord? Are you going to allow him to help you to write those final notes in beautiful harmony with that of the music of the Father? There may be someone to whom you have to reach out to. Maybe they're close by. Maybe they're states away. Maybe there's a phone call. But friends, by God's grace, let us be ministers of healing and reconciliation. Amen? Oh, what a joy it's going to be to finally allow the Spirit to take his full work and to bring about that union that only he can bring. But he can only bring that union if we are willing to cooperate with him. And so, the song that we're going to sing for our closing song is a song that's very contemplative. Sometimes when you look at the song and you read the words, you think about physical distance. But it's very rarely about physical distance. It could be some spiritual gaps between you and your brother, you and your sister, between you and the Father. But may we allow God to tune our hearts to his, that we may truly experience the joy of serving him and winning others for Christ. And so 296. I wandered far. Now I'm coming home. I'm going to ask that this song appeal to your heart. And if anyone wants to come forward as the song is being sung, if you feel your heart being tugged, please do not delay. We're going to sing the first three stanzas, 1, 2, and 3. But as we sing, please come forward. Notice it's based on Luke 15. Lord, I'm coming home. Singing. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to roam.
I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming.
I'm tired of sin,
straight.